It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. And I'm up in the captain's chair in captain's quarters because I am not able to drive right now. And we'll talk briefly about all of this in the binnacle list section, and then I have a little commentary to make about the whole business of my care as related to one of America's favorite subjects right now, immigration. My greetings today go out to every single one of Captain Joe's people. Your love, your respect, your regard, your concern have been flooding over me so much so that Sailor, my orange cat, and Blossom, my geriatric black cat that nobody else wanted, have been wondering when they're going to get some attention. I've not been able to reply to most of them, and my being able to talk to you today is going to be both slower with a little bit different pitch of voice, and I certainly am going to have to take a few breaks to have a sip of a restorative fluid. But in the meantime, the binnacle list, I have to both confess error and to make something right. Yesterday, or last week, rather, in the binnacle list, I reported that there were no crossings of the bar. And there were. And not only was it a crossing of the bar, but it was one very significant to all of us on the Coast Guard Channel. It was a member who had been with us for many, many years and was a Coast Guard veteran. And at the time that he crossed the bar, which was just before my remarks of last week, he was 80 years old. Mike Childers. And Mike had been a loyal, dedicated, and firm member of the Coast Guard Channel for many, many years. His remarks were always gracious, to the point, and often carried a religious theme because Mike was a pastor, had been a pastor. And I should have recognized that in my own concerns about my own situation, which we will discuss briefly in the next segment. I did not mention his crossing. I do so now with all of the affection and respect that your captain can muster, and with many thanks for all that Mike did for so many of us over the years. My own situation is that yesterday I had a surgery under a general anesthetic. The surgeon, to whom I will give a little bit of a tribute in my remarks a little bit farther on the subject of immigration and immigrants, was just the right person for me. And she went in through the throat, all the way into the back, and took out some tissue, which is being examined now by the pathologist. My next appointment with her is next week, a week from today, but it comes after our visit. And now I have to take a quick but pithy sip out of a restorative fluid. There we are. So, but I am hopeful that I will have a report from the pathologist as to what's going on back there. I'm able to speak to you today, even though it is in little bits and pieces, because of her skill. I will say that I am not particularly comfortable, but I will also say that we are not at the level of having to use any pain meds above the level of extra strength Tylenol. I want all of you to know that my progress is made so much easier by your concern. And in return, my concern for all of Captain Joe's people who are themselves on the medical list. And many of you either have been or are or will be facing situations which I'm confident are far more serious than mine. I hope this is coming through to you loud and clear. I am not able to muster my bridge or quarterdeck voice, but I hope it's coming through to you loud enough, and I know that Captain O'Brien, who's engineering for me, can boost the sound level on the meters if he has to. The commentary that I want to and I'm going to make about immigration and immigrants. In the last few days, in the pre-op business, I had to go and get a clearance by a cardiologist. And the cardiologist to whom I was assigned was a lady with a Japanese name. She was, by my calculations, about 21. She was not all Japanese. I came to know that by talking to her. And she was just lovely. And she was extremely confident. And she, after a pretty rigorous exam, which included a new EKG, she said, okay for surgery. I had learned that she had been born in America. I had thought that maybe she had come from Japan, but it turns out that she was born in America. And I look forward to learning more because I decided that she was going to be my cardiologist of record from now on. The surgeon to which I was assigned turns out to be part Chinese and also was born in this country. Also just a lovely person and is just the right personality, right kind of people for me. Let's get to the problem. Let's fix the problem, and then let's move on. So now we have a Japanese lady, a Chinese lady, and I get to the hospital yesterday morning. I was driven by my good friend, Dr. Phillips, who I serve on the board, on his board for the Washington Poison Center. And he's my next door neighbor, and his wife, Michelle, of course, is the person from whom came Sailor. And she's the one who owns the string of kitty dispensing machines that are spotted all over the magical isle of Vashon, which, by the way, is an absolutely beautiful day today. And I am alive, and I am able to talk to you, and that makes it even more a beautiful day. So I get to the hospital, and I am introduced to the anesthesiologist. And this gal, she's maybe 22, and she is of Italian ancestry. And during the conversation, I learned that she came from a New York Italian family, and I am related by marriage into a New Jersey Italian family, Conti. My sister was married into the Conti family from New Jersey. And so we had an interesting discussion about that while she is asking me all of the questions about whether I would be able to tolerate and then come out whole on the other side of a general anesthetic regime. And we both decided that I could. And so off we go to the operating room. And on one side, I am surrounded by my surgeon, who is Chinese, part Chinese, by the anesthesiologist, who is Italian. And now comes this lovely young lady who is the helper, the assistant. I don't know what they call them in the hierarchy of operating rooms, but anyway, she is Filipina. And of course, I have been shipmates with a number of Philippine sailors, a cabin steward in all three of the ships in which I had a cabin steward. All three of them were Filipino shipmates. And of course, having served in Vietnam, went in and out of Subic Bay, the city of Ilongapo, a number of times. So now we have four. And after all of the fun and frolic in the operating room was over with, I get wheeled out, and my last helper, broke the string. I think his name was Roland. He was about 80, and he had been an RN for at least 40 years, is what he proclaimed. He was neither 21, nor was he a lady, nor was he lovely to look at. But he did his job in a reasonably seaman-like fashion. I don't know what his ethnic background was, but I know what mine is. And so we add that to the mix. My mother's family is a very old Virginia and Maryland family. Goes back to the 1600s. And my father's family, immigrant Germans from Prussia. In 1870, they came over on the steamship Emma in 1870. I bring all this up because it was just remarkable to me that I was being cared for by these incredibly competent and the right personalities to match up with mine. If we remain in touch, as I expect we will in one way or another, because I don't think that I'm finished with the surgeon, for example, then they will all become Captain Joe's people. And you all know how much I treasure every single one of Captain Joe's people. You give me the privilege of being your captain, even after all these years. So it is. I am completely unimpressed by this whole business of going after people who are immigrants. I certainly believe that those who are here illegally and who have committed crimes should bear the consequences of that. I don't have any problem with that. But I have a lot of problem with going after people who have been and are descended from people who came here for the reasons that the Statue of Liberty still holds up for. And in particular, am I grateful for all of the wonderful people that have been taking care of me all the way up to this very minute that I'm talking to you. And I'm incredibly grateful for their parents and their grandparents who came over and they saw the light and they went through Ellis Island or whatever their entry point was. And their descendants are here. And they're taking care of me, the grandson or great-grandson of German immigrants and the great-great-great-great-grandson, many grandsons back, of people who came here from the Midlands in England in the 1600s. And that is what I have to say about all of that. I've checked with Captain, and right now I'm going to take another few second break for another drink of Barqs, B-A-R-Q apostrophe S, zero sugar root beer. Barqs, by the way, a great American brand. Before I go into my next one, I want to reassure all of you who have expressed so much concern, all of Captain Joe's people, it is not yet time to be practicing the flag folding ceremony. We have many miles yet to steam together. We have many things yet, places to go, people to see, people to take care of. We're going to do it as long as we can. And when the end of that time comes, it is my hope and my wish and will certainly be my command if I can manage it, that it be done with the style that you are entitled to expect from me up in the captain's chair. So I did a check of G Captain this morning, and one of the articles had to do with the upcoming and as yet unannounced arrangement between Iran and the United States. And in particular, it has to do with the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. And the warning is coming from several trade associations, one with the acronym of BIMCO, having to do with especially the clearance of mines through the Hormuz Strait. And everybody is saying that how long it's going to take and all of the things that are connected with it. And if the question were to come to your captain, I would say, no, it doesn't have to take a long time. You set up a command center. I would recommend that that command center be headed by a junior flag officer of a country that is not directly involved, and that it be manned by experienced captains. And I don't have any problem with having those captains come from countries that have flagships inside the Persian Gulf. Right now, there are about 600 ships, of which 250 are tankers, inside the Persian Gulf, and about 20,000 sailors. We need to get those ships out. We need to get the sailors out. And this command post, which could be modeled on the one which was used for clearing the Francis Scott Key Bridge, as to how you do it. You set up your priorities, and then you just get in and you do it. Mine clearance is a tricky business. But there are people who are highly skilled at it. My force in the U.S. Navy has always been at the bottom of the professional hierarchy. I've never understood that, because they have to be consummate seamen. And they have to have the highest level of attention to duty. But there you have it. There are a number of things about the U.S. Navy that I do not understand, and I've been around the U.S. Navy my entire working life. I've served under their OPCON in Antarctica, Vietnam, other places. So I've never understood that, but it can be done, and it can be done just by opening up very quickly an in channel and an out channel. You set up a vessel traffic service. And all of these things should be done by people who are led by somebody who is not directly involved. But it certainly can be done, and it can be much more quickly than the naysayers are saying. And I look forward to seeing how they end up doing it. I said it will be done slowly. Much more slowly than it needs to be done. And my concern in particular is getting those sailors out of there. There have been suicides. There have been medical emergencies. It's just been an awful situation, and the maritime world has refused to make it a humanitarian cause to take care of that. And it could have been done with all of the other stuff going on. My next commentary has to do with the Arctic. The G-Captain also had an article in which they declared that there was a piece of legislation entered into our Congress to prohibit any spy ships. They defined spy ships, I guess, in the article, in the legislation, from adversary countries. That means Russia and China, on the American Arctic continental shelf and the EEZ. My guess is that this is not legal. We certainly have every right to prohibit any activities in any of our territorial waters. But I question the legality of the 200-mile exclusive economic zone. A better way to do it is to, once again, set up a task force with all of the countries, if they will participate, to all of the countries that are involved, if they will participate, to come aboard the senior captain's ship and set up some ground rules alongside the rules of the road. Because all the countries in the Arctic are signatory to the Safety of Life at Sea conventions from the International Maritime Organization. We're not going to be able to patrol or prevent sampling of the airwaves by countries that we at any given time don't particularly like. I have a feeling that the Admiralty lawyers will say that this is not legal under the laws of the sea. Now, the United States is not signatory to the Law of the Sea Convention, but there are other places that talk about the EEZ. I would like to see the Arctic come under some sort of a treaty framework which would be similar to the Antarctic Treaty. Oh, Captain Joe, that can never happen. There were people that said that about the Antarctic, and we are now coming up on a treaty that is up for major review in the end. So I am optimistic. I know many of the people that are involved with Arctic planning. They are all people who are of incredible professional integrity and ability. Many of them are former retired icebreaker captains themselves. And the United States State Department should still have buried somewhere inside its ranks people who really care about territorial integrity, about safety of life at sea, about the proper use of the various transit lanes in the Arctic, and about the safety in particular of all of the people who go to sea in the polar regions. My good friend from Canada was involved in the creation of the International Maritime Association Polar Code. And he himself is a retired Coast Guard icebreaker captain from the Canadian Coast Guard. When people like that, and people like my friend Captain Brigham, Professor Dr. Captain Brigham, himself also a highly experienced icebreaker captain, are involved in the construction of these agreements and treaties, then oils can come out of it. And I look forward to those things happening. My friend John, J-O-N, sent me a signal about Eastern Shipbuilding and about how Argus and Chase are going to be towed to some other shipyard for completion. But where does your captain, formerly Ingham, where is my next Ingham? And where is number four? Those things are yet to be determined by a personal visit by your captain to Eastern Shipbuilding. Finally, last Sunday, we had our low tide celebration. It was just a glorious time. And I did indeed run my boys out. It was my pre-op day, and so I had a number of other tasks to accomplish before, for a while, or after the celebration. But I thank all of my people who worked on it. It was just an absolutely splendid, and I think we had more people this year than we have ever had before. The Omega Watch, the captain's Omega Watch, which is also a hack watch when I'm still taking Starsight. So it tells me that it is time for me to say once again that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. I am, as always, your Captain Joe, enormously grateful for your help and your concern, your love, your respect, and your regard. I am, as always, on station and watching